Norfolk Wildlife Trust Ambassador Nick Aitchison tells us how he's enthralled by the beauty of the jay and its role as a forester.
Consider the jay. That such a bird should exist among us, visit our gardens and haunt our Norfolk woods, is miraculous. Whereas the rest of our clever crows are magnificent in black or pied with white or grey, the jay combines intellect with plumage of arresting beauty. If you had never seen a jay or heard of one, finding its illustration in a book, you would gasp and wonder from what far realm of tropical beauty such a creature hailed. Yet it hails from the woods and woodland edges all around us. I see them in the healthy oak wood a couple of hundred meters from my door. I see them in the birch, willow and hawthorn scrub along the old railway line, 100 meters further on. In September, I see them from my desk. A jay is nature's way of moving acorns uphill, of shifting woodland up towards the line at which climate will no longer sustain it. A jay naturally sees itself as no such thing. It sees itself, inasmuch as it sees itself at all, as a jay's way of shifting jay genes one generation further along the great story of life. But when I see jays from my desk in September, they are shifting acorns, doing all the important work of planting woods. Planting woods. There's the rub. At the last election, political parties competed to claim they would plant more trees in the UK landscape to offset the disastrous effects of changing climate. Imagine that. Politicians competing to sound green. As so often, however, our politicians were missing the deeper point. A tree is not a tree, is not a tree. Even from a purely mathematical point of view, carbon sequestration varies enormously between species, between the same species growing in different environments, between the same species in monoculture and biodiverse woodlands bristling with life. Plus, there are innumerable collateral benefits in addition to carbon storage of self-forming and self-sustaining natural woods, soil creation, water retention, water distribution, beauty, recreation, and the shouldn't have to be stated benefit of offering a home to so much of our native wildlife. In their virtue signaling promises to plant more trees than each other, politicians could, literally, not see the wood for the trees. Woods are good. We need real woods. Jays, it so happens, make them. For the most part, foresters plant immaculate mountain-taming rows of non-native conifers, marching like Great Birnam Wood to Dunsinane across the UK landscape. Jays, by contrast, plant complex mind maps of native acorns, remembering the location of thousands of proto-oaks to be recovered and eaten later in the year, or next when times are hard. Their placing of acorns is thought out but free, unpredictable but perfect, creating, if they germinate and oaks then grow, the kind of complex, edge-laden, non-uniform landscape in which so much of our wildlife thrives. How, though, do they grow? Jays plant acorns to be eaten, and eaten acorns do not grow. Consider the goshawk, banana-taloned slayer of all she sees, shredder of squirrels and wielder of fears in corvid flocks. A goshawk is more than capable of ending a jay's life this winter, and if that one jay killed has planted just 500 acorns this September, acorns which no other jay knows to find, here are 500 potential oaks, growing twisted and sculpted by weather and wild, sequestering carbon sheltering life in every rugged crack. Consider the jay, big-eyed and speckle-crowned, black-tailed and white-rumped, pink-necked and sky-shouldered. Perfect. This September, as I daydream at my desk, eyes lost on the distant common, I do not see a jay with its crop rammed with acorns. I see nature recolonizing our landscape, fly by fly, mow by mole, oak by one day crooked oak. I see hope, our only hope, of averting climate catastrophe and human crisis. In nature's unbent stochasticity lie the only seeds of our future and all the stories of our past.